Good day, friends. It's good to come into your family circle with our Bible and to talk to you for the next quarter hour about one of the great accounts of conversion that's found in the Bible. You know, when we bring you this broadcast from time to time, we, of course, are considering what the Thus Saith the Lord has said. And we want to do exactly what the Bible teaches. We realize sincerity cannot be a substitution for righteousness. So regardless of how sincere we are, we must have a Thus Saith the Lord. You know, Paul made it clear in Colossians 3:17, he said, "Whatsoever we do in word or deed, let us do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And the point I'm bringing out on that is if we do it all in his name, we do it by his authority. And so a scripture that we often give to you that certainly seems to harmonize with the idea of speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where it is silent is 1 Peter 4:11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Before we get into an outstanding conversion that I think will go to your heart and to your life today as it does to ours, we want to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Will you join us if you care to do so and can while we pray? Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad as we come to you and as we speak regarding the Bible of the wonderful opportunity we have to proclaim this truth. And we are glad for thy word. And we are glad to understand that thou hast told us in thy word that it will endure forever. Our life can be as grass, even as the flower of the grass. And that grass will wither and the flower will fall away. But he that doeth the will of the Lord will abide forever, even as the word of the Lord, the gospel, is everlasting. It'll be in existence when we stand before your Son at the final day. We are aware of the fact that in such writing as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And we know thy word will be there. We pray in this broadcast for those who make this broadcast possible. We pray for all who listen that the teaching may benefit those who are in Christ as well as those who are out of Christ. We pray for the sick. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And we pray for our nation and nations of the world. May the true teaching that we offer from thy word sink into the hearts of men and women and germinate and bring forth fruit to thy name's honor and glory. Be with us then, Father, to this end. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. In the famous 16th chapter of Acts, we have the conversion of the jailer at Philippi. And I want to take an excerpt from that on the broadcast today. You may be following us. Maybe you're well acquainted with the account of this conversion, but the interesting thing in verse 30, we have the jailer, of course, saying, "What must I do to be saved?" Have you asked that question? The answer that's given is an answer of inspiration. Paul and Silas have the answer here in Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." So many, many times when we pick up a little folder or a tract, we see the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And then the reference is given to Acts 16:31, "To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, that's exactly our position. But someone asked the question, "Well, just what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?" I think if you would analyze this word, you'll find that it means more than what we say with our mouth. Now, one interesting thing about it here, Paul is apparently making a general statement because he has not preached the gospel to the jailer. The jailer certainly could not be looked upon as being a Christian. I don't think this question would have been on his mind if he'd been a Christian. It's highly doubtful in my mind that he was a Jew. He could have been a Gentile, and he could have been a pagan. You see, if he were a pagan, then there were many gods that he would call upon to try to assist him. But the point is that Paul is pointing out one that he is to believe on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question comes, had this man ever heard anything about Jesus? Now, if he'd heard something about Jesus, then he would have known something about Christ. But I believe that he's making a statement here of telling him who he must believe in, who he must put his trust in, and who he must follow. You see, the word "believe" here implies the idea not alone of conviction in our belief. It also implies the idea of an emotion in our love and our trust. But it also implies the volition or a voluntary obedience. Now, I'm led to believe that Paul, not having spoken unto him the word of the Lord in verse 31, is now going to explain to him. And you must keep in mind that the faith that we're talking about, that is so necessary to one's salvation, can only come through hearing the Word of God. There's an interesting point. The point is that we can look at the sunset, we can look at the flowers, we can look at the works of the universe, and how many times do you say, there's the handiwork of God? Well, that's scriptural. Because David in the 19th Psalm in verse 1, 1,000 years before Christ came to this earth, said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. So you can see God in those things. But you're never going to see the point that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the works of nature. You're going to find that in the Bible. So that's why Paul said in Romans 10:17, with this thought in mind, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So this is why we have verse 32, and you have to continue to read this account. Don't stop at the end of verse 30, because you won't have the answer to the question. Don't stop at the end of verse 31, because you'll have a general statement. But now go to verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. That's in verse 32. Now if faith comes by hearing the word of God, when this man is a jailer and members of his household have heard the word of God, then they'll know what to do to be saved. You know, it's pointed out there by Paul in that same 10th chapter of Romans, when he has said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Before that, he said we have to hear so that we can believe, and there has to be the proclamation. We can't believe unless we hear the gospel proclaimed. So the jailer could not have believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He couldn't have answered the question, couldn't have been answered, what must I do to be saved, without the proclamation of God's word. Now, the things that are associated with his response would indicate to us that which means that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our faith or our belief is going to be dead unless it has action associated with it. Now, James spoke of it as works. Now, that's a bad word to some people. But really, the word works just conveys the idea, the action of our faith. So when the word of the Lord was preached to the jailer and members of his household, here was the reaction. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night. In other words, the jailer took Paul and Silas and washed their stripes. They had been beaten in the city of Philippi, had been cast into what I would call solitary confinement. And at midnight there, they were singing praises and praying to God. The prisoners heard them. There was an earthquake, and you remember how the doors were open. And the jailer at first was going to take his own life. He thought everybody had escaped. And Paul cried with a loud voice so he could hear him, and he said, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And that's when he came in to where they were and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, after he heard the preaching of the gospel, here was his reaction. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And then it says, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Might I point out to you that this man did not wait until it was morning to be baptized. And I think I'd have the same impression in my mind, realizing that if Paul preached the gospel to him, he must have preached the same gospel that Peter did at Pentecost when he told the people to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This was all associated with believing. So he didn't wait until morning. You see, if baptism was just a church ordinance, if baptism was something that had nothing to do with salvation, he could have waited for 30 days because he would have been saved before he was baptized. Well, sins are not washed away, according to what Paul says, until we are baptized into Christ. But this is an action of belief. It's an action of our faith in the Lord. It's that which is required for our sins to be forgiven. Because Saul of Tarsus was told by Ananias, as we told you last week, to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Also, baptism brings one into fellowship with Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, this man was believing because belief is linked with baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They're all together there, as Jesus taught in the Great Commission in Mark 16:16. But listen now to Acts 16:34. You see, we've got to continue to read. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see, he had come by Jesus Christ to God. And as we were talking about Cornelius last time, he couldn't really have the fellowship with God on this side of the cross without coming by Jesus Christ. Remember that scripture in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you see, Cornelius had to come by Jesus Christ. But when he did come by Jesus Christ, it was a case of believing. His repentance, turning toward Jesus, turning, I'm sure, from idols and from those things that would war against the soul. He centered his mind upon Christ. He must have announced with his mouth in the light of other conversions that he believed that Christ was the Son of God. And the same hour of the night he was baptized, along with members of his household that were able to believe and to obey the gospel. But then it says that he was rejoicing and believing in God with all his house. So I'm wondering, as we look at the conversion of the jailer, if you can see that the question is answered, what must I do to be saved? Now, don't sell this answer short. In other words, don't take the question and just go part way. I feel sometimes there are people who want to obey the gospel, but they just don't go far enough. Go the entire course that you may be assured that your sins are forgiven. Not alone is this Bible, but it's also the safe course that any person would follow. So there's no need of you having sin in your life. Get that sin out of your life by obeying from your heart that gospel of Christ, that you might be made free from sin to become a servant of righteousness. We have in Romans 6:17-18. Well, we're going to leave the conversion of the jailer with you in this action in Acts, and we're going to say that our broadcast next time will be the final broadcast in this current series of Action in Acts, all brought to you by your friendly neighbors, the Church of Christ, who invite you to their service and who invite you to be listening next time as we deal with another lesson that's found in the Word of God.